happening locally. The news.
And it is indeed our last look for this week. Some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. The Tribunal Electoral tried to bring closer positions with the National Assembly, but the modification to the electoral code promoted by the bench of the ruling Democratic Revolutionary Party with less than 7 months left for the general elections seems imminent. The first vice president of the National Assembly, Ricardo Torres, confirmed that Bill 1092, proposed by himself, which modifies the application mechanism by residue in multi-member circuits, will be discussed in the second debate next Monday. The decision was communicated by Torres this Thursday at the end of a meeting with the magistrates of the Tribunal Electoral, who have been completely outside of this discussion and have expressed their strong opposition to Project 1092, alleging that it is extemporaneous and would cause distortions and lacks legitimacy. In a responsible manner, as we have always done, even when proposing the draft law that modifies Article 380, that's of the Electoral Code, we always called on the Tribunal Electoral to listen to us, to sit with us. Well, after the adoption and approval in the first debate, and today that we were going to start the second debate, we had a call from the three magistrates of the Electoral Court, said Torres. Whatever was discussed at the meeting, apparently it will not change the course of events, because the project is not only maintained, but is advancing to the next phase. We have sat down. We are going to continue legislating, and on Monday we are going to return to the proposal that is already in the plenary session to discuss, Torres told journalists before leaving the Tribunal Electoral headquarters. Project 1092 has already been included in the agenda of the day of the legislative plenary session, which must approve it in the second and third debate. It was presented by Deputy Ricardo Torres, who is also a member of the National Executive Committee, the CEN of the PRD. But the proposal not only has the support of the PRD bench, in the first debate it had the votes in favour of Deputies Krina Cano from Molirena and Mayin Correa and Alain Cedeño from Cambio Democratico. Only the Panamanista Luis Ernesto Carlos voted against, which earned him several insults from the PRD deputy Raul Pineda, who is part of the aforementioned commission. Leandro Vila, president of the Government Commission, defends the proposal, despite the fact that in 2019 it arrived at the Assembly with the current residual formula. Those who have modified the electoral code by decree have been the electoral tribunal, and the proposal that we are presenting is to maintain the same Article 380, which guarantees the possibility that all parties can have a residual and that there are no parties that can have up to 9 residuals in an electoral process in the same circuit, said Avila, ignoring that there is no circuit with 9 deputies or more, so it would be unfeasible for a circuit to award 9 seats per remainder, as he suggests. The circuit with the most seats is that of San Miguelito, where there are 7 seats. Avila warns that if an understanding is achieved with the Tribunal Electoral Magistrates, it is not necessary to make the modification in the Assembly, because that it is already in the Electoral Code. What happens is that a decree has modified the law, which is the Electoral Code. First Quantum, whose subsidiary Minera Panama develops the copper extraction project in Donoso in Colón, announced on Wednesday that it is prepared to review the adjustments to the mining contract with the Panamanian state. We've always maintained an open position to dialogue and are prepared to analyse and review the 4 adjustments mentioned in the resolution. Our objective is to collaborate with the government and to find a solution that allows the approval of the contract, is reflected in a statement published by the company on social networks. The reaction of the mining company comes after the Cabinet Council authorised the Minister of Commerce and Industries, Federico Alfaro, to request, before the National Assembly, the withdrawal of Bill 1043, which approves the mining concession contract concluded between the Panamanian state and the Minera Panama Company to make the required adjustments. On the 28th of September, the Assembly's Trade Economic Affairs Committee suspended the discussion in the first debate of the project, the reasons why the deputies proposed to the executive to take their bill were the articles that have to do with the restriction of airspace, the possibility of expropriation and the distribution of the final benefits of the mining concession. The company said that it was aware of the resolution of the Legislative Commission that proposes adjustments to the contract and that the priority is to ensure a contract that protects the investment made, guaranteeing its legal security and providing stability for workers, communities, suppliers and shareholders. The decision of the Commerce Commission came after several weeks of consultations with the parties involved, and now it is up to the executive and the company to sit down and discuss the points to reconsider. Likewise, it's worth remembering that several environmental and union organisations are calling for a complete review of the contract. The results of the 2023 census of the National Institute of Census and Statistics of the Comptroller General of the Republic confirm that the majority of the population is concentrated in the provinces of Panama, Panama Oeste and Chiriquí. The data shows that the province of Panama there are 1,439,575 inhabitants, while in Panama Oeste the number of people registered was 653,665 people, and in Chiriquí, more than 450 kilometres from the capital city, there are at least 476,007 inhabitants. Panama continues to account for the majority of the country's population, 35.4%, but now 16.1% of the country's total population is in the new province of Panama Oeste, that is, the population that lives in the new limits of the province of Panama. Next on the list are Colón with 281,956 people, Coclé 268,264, and finally in Veraguas with a figure of 259,791. Meanwhile, the provinces with the fewest inhabitants are Los Santos, Herrera and Bocas del Toro, according to data published from the 2023 census. For example, in Los Santos, there are 98,466 people. They've got an average age of 39 years. Then there's Herrera with a figure of 122,071, and they've got inhabitants, and their average age is 36 years. And in Bocas del Toro, 159,228 were registered, and the average age there? 20. There are large gaps between provinces. For example, in Los Santos, the average age is 39, while Chiriquí and Coclé, 31. Colón and Darien, the average age of the population, 28 and 24 years, respectively. This gives indications of the movement of the young population to specific provinces to seek life opportunities. In addition, from the increases in the population from 3.4 million people in 2010, to 4.06 million in 2023, some other important comparative variables include the gradual fall of the population growth rate, going from 2.0 between 1990 and 2000 to 1.84 between 2000-2010, and then continue dropping to 1.4 between 2010 and 23. The decrease will continue in the coming years because it is a consequence of the decrease in average fertility, which, although slight, decreased from 2.3 to 2 children per woman. The next 80 days, they're crucial, so that storage can be increased in the Gatun and Alajuela reservoirs, the Panama Canal Authority reported in a statement. These lakes supply water to guarantee the operation of the interoceanic route and, in turn, supply water for the water treatment plants that distribute the resource to the population. The ACP expressed that increasing storage and therefore the level of the lakes in the next month and a half will be strategic to, in this way, well, to having the capacity to regulate the available water during the next dry season in 2024. The ACP points out that the measures that have been taken, such as the reduction in the allowed draft of 44 feet and the reduction in the number of daily transits, which first dropped from 38 to 32 per day, and from November the 1st, is going to drop to 31 per day to allow daily savings of 1.2 million cubic metres of water. This amount of water, according to the canal, is equivalent to 80% of what is consumed per day in the provinces of Colón, Panama, and Panama Oeste. Faced with the growing demand for water and the variability in rainfall patterns, the canal has modified operational and commercial processes to ensure the supply of fresh water, both for the consumption of the population and for transit during the next dry season, expected from December to April of 2024, reported the ACP. They go on to indicate that the canal is adopting measures to ensure the availability in volume and quality of water, both for the operation of the canal and for the consumption of the population. The Panama Canal indicates that, added to the drought, the El Niño phenomenon has a negative effect on the evaporation of bodies of water, which is significant. Crucial sites such as Gatun and Alajuela lakes that feed on the contributions of rains and rivers. They explain that currently the daily contributions obtained through rainfall and the flow of the rivers that feed the Gatun Reservoir are located at 7 cubic hectometers, while the outputs through human consumption, industry, the canal and evaporation is located at 10 hectometers, which creates a deficit of 3 cubic hectometers each day. In a year of regular rains, the inflow of water would be an average of 15 cubic hectometers per day. This means that during the year of 2023, more water has been consumed than what enters Gatun Lake through rain and rivers in the canal, and has been working now with the water that had reserved in December of 2022 to sustain operations during the summer of 2023, plus the transfers from Lake Alajuela, which has better levels. The ACP explains that 3 cubic hectometers are equivalent to the water stored in 1,200 Olympic swimming pools, and this daily deficit has caused the Gatun Reservoir to be 7 feet below the expected level for the date, which represents the lowest level recorded during a rainy season in the entire history of this reservoir. And that's it. There we go. That's keeping us up to date with what's happening with the canal. We really need that rain, don't we? Well, that's it. Some of the stories here in the local news compiled for you on this morning's programme.